This is, I guess you have to look through me to be in this position, huh, Bill? I think I'll move over here or something. Oh, that's not a bad idea. I could get lower. Yeah. Do I just get in the cushion? Got my orders here. Okay. I'll stand, Bill. Brethren, if we could have everyone's attention. I don't think there's going to be any more of us. I realize I probably downplayed the importance of this significantly enough, so brethren ran off for the cookies instead. But if you didn't get a copy of a handout, which is called Test of Time. I almost would like you to have read the first page of this before we start, but we're going to ask Brother Mark Chastain ask a blessing, if he come up here and just ask a blessing, since he's in motion.
Dear Almighty God and our beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and thy blessed name. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have of the truth. And we thank you also for those that make the effort to keep it pure. And we pray that thou would bless this presentation, that we would hear the truth, pure truth that we have. We ask your forgiveness when we come short. Please bless Brother Bob as his words be blessed by thee and guided by the Holy Spirit. For we ask and we thank thee through the merit of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen.
I really appreciate the permission that the committee allowed me to have to spend a little bit of time with some of the brethren who would be interested in the subject, and I didn't know that everybody would, and I didn't want to make it. I was even offered the opportunity to have it in place of the Vesper and have the Vesper after it, and I didn't think that would be the preference of a lot of brethren. The opening page of this document, which is called The Test of Time, has really a letter from myself discussing the fact that, of course, there have been a lot of changes that have been suggested to the Harvest message. And those changes have at various times done various things to the chronology specifically. And, of course, some other matters have come up lately. I would rather you read this in the privacy of your own reading time. But just to give you a brief review, of course, there has been over the past 14 years approximately a lot of interest in, re-interest in chronology because of a challenge that was put forth by a man named Carl Olaf Johnson. I received personally a couple of letters back then from two of the brethren who were interested in pursuing a study of this. I remembered having studied in the 1970s Parker and Duberstein, who are really the people who are behind a lot of the laying out of the tablets, the Babylonian tablets, and coming to the conclusion at that time that it really wasn't something that I needed to bother with, that there were a lot of lacunas or errors in the tablets, in the Bonnetus Chronicle, and so forth. And I just put it aside, figuring that what Brother Russell had was sufficient. Others, of course, went and pursued it a lot more deeply and came up with different conclusions. And through the early part of the 1990s, presentations were made that suggested that we could revise the chronology and come out with 1872 as the appropriate date. In the year 2000, a similar presentation was made by one of the brethren at after-hours session at another convention. And at that time, the question of Galatians 3:17 was whether or not that was the appropriate time, as if Apostle Paul had not put in the appropriate time. And at that time, the period from Abraham to the law covenant was considered to be 600 years. Brethren such as Brother Cunningham at that time made presentations such as two-hour sessions at Jackson, Michigan, reviewing the matter and came up with different conclusions, maintaining that the presentation of the Harvest message in the volume 2 was good enough for us to stay with. Now, the reason I'm rushing through this is I'd like to get into the meat of the subject, Sister Rebecca. I just wanted to rush through it. That's why I was talking so fast. Anyway, you can see that I've chosen the scripture here of Habakkuk 2. If I'm in somebody's way and you can't see through me, just tell me to move, okay? There have been a lot of tests of time, and this is part of a series of two discourses that were done. It's kind of condensed into this booklet. By the way, everybody has a copy of the booklet? Okay, Sister Barbara doesn't have a copy. Where are the extra copies, Mark? You don't have any? Down here. Okay. Brother Larry needs one. Sister Carol needs one. Okay. You will read. I'm not going to read all this to you. I respect your intelligence and ability to read at this point. I will not read this booklet to you. But you'll find on the first pages exactly where some of our chronology came from. And on the second page, which is where we're going right now, you'll see the three periods of time that have come into question. And I'll review other parts of it with you later. These are the periods that have been offered as an alternate to the chronology that we now have. If at some time you have a question, feel free to ask. What? Yes? Okay. What we see in the first of these slides is a list of Brother Russell's dates from Volume 2 and a list of the alternate chronology dates, which include the alternate chronology of the period of the Judges, Kings, and Desolation. Judges taking 349, period of Kings 463, and Desolation only 51 years. Moving to the next visual, we have a Volume 2 chronology is challenged, and basically those removed dates are shown on a bar graph, and the time then is removed from the entire 6,000-year block. I think it's interesting to mention that the person who did a great deal of the study that is behind some of this material, who is not among the brethren, actually, when he did his study, had no particular motive of trying to seek a 6,000-year period. He was just happily moving along, trying to put everything in place and coming up with a solution which didn't have to have a concluding date. And that's where this originally starts, by the ingenious efforts of this person creating something that we don't think is valid, but nevertheless is where this person was going. And the brethren have picked up on this and have used some of the logic of that, with some modifications from what I understand, to present the fact that the 50, I guess I have a laser pointer here, right? The 50-year period of the judges, kings rather, can be reduced by this method of working with synchronisms and rearranging matters. We'll move ahead. These are the three periods I'm mentioning again. There's also in this booklet a discussion of the 0 year, the non-zero year, 0 year, and the problems it may create, mysterious question, and also the Jewish double and harvest parallels and the 2300 days and 70 weeks prophecies. One of the things that we find is of major interest is the fact that the 70 years desolation was put into question as early as very few years after Brother Russell passed away. You may not be familiar with this, but Brother Streeter in the Herald magazine began presenting a complete chronology change, chronology change, which would in effect produce 1933-34 as a conclusion of the times of the Gentiles, which if you figure it out comes out to about 1896 or 98, somewhere in there, as the conclusion of the 6,000 years. This is what he was proposing because they realized they had passed 1914. They were looking for a date that was soon. They began to accept the dates for the fall of Jerusalem as being accurate, and therefore they changed their minds. Anyway, we propose to you that the concept of a 70 years desolation is valid, and if you will look at page 3 of your handout, you will see on that page of this chart and a quotation which we put at the top of the page, or the middle of the page, desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Others have suggested that brethren, such as myself and perhaps others who have spoken on the subject or written on it, have put the concept of 70 years desolation in quotes as if it were a scripture. I assure you, this is a scripture. It is the New International Version, but the way it's written there, desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years, is legitimately a scripture, honest to goodness, and therefore I think is credible to consider as a legitimate basis for a chronological period. And is the basis why Brother Russell was concerned with this particular choice, that it was a 70-year period of desolation, not a 51-year period, which was suggested earlier. We're going to explain some details about these numbers to you later, but we'll go on. We feel that it's important to remember that one of Brother Russell's presentations, Ezekiel 21, 25-27, about the removing, the overturning, the overturning, the overturning, and the giving to him whose right it is, being a very legitimate and appropriate placement not only on Zedekiah, but that the overturning begins to count at that time, that the 2,520 years begins with Zedekiah losing the city. And we'll explain a little bit more about that later. We want to move ahead to some rather important details. The same scripture is printed out here in text form, Ezekiel 21, 25-27. And here you see, we were in the right place. The overturned crown, and I want to call to your attention with the laser pointer again. Reference here to Judah attacked. It was attacked, it was attacked again, and I might point out to you that the brethren who are suggesting an alternate version are saying that where I'm pointing now on the chart, which is back in the early days of Jehoiakim, that they conclude is where 606 should really appear. We're suggesting that's not so, that occurred earlier, but that 606 is lined up with Zedekiah's conclusion. That's where there's a difference in this chronological detailing. Should we accept something less than 70 years as a period of desolation? We think not, and we think that these several scriptures are the clear evidence for that. For example, if you read Leviticus 26:31 and 35, you find out from the law given to Moses that the sanctuaries would be made desolate if Israel was violating God's word, that the land would be desolate to enjoy its Sabbaths. It doesn't say 70 years there, but it says the land would be desolate to enjoy its Sabbaths, the sanctuaries would be desolate from the law to Moses. When we come to Jeremiah, 7th chapter, 12th to the 14th verses, and I'd like to have, I don't have that printed out in front of me, but here's the essence of it. There is no place in the scriptures other than these two verses in Jeremiah, this set of verses, 26th chapter as well, no other place that describes what happened to Shiloh when Eli's sons took the Ark of the Covenant into the battle, lost the Ark of the Covenant, both died, their wife, one of the wives had a child, and the wife, I think, dies, and the father, Eli, rolls over backwards, breaks his neck, and dies. There's no mention that Shiloh was then made a desolation. In those verses, it's mentioned. And Jeremiah is using it to say the house in Jerusalem is going to be made a desolation. So he's making a link to the law by saying this desolation. He's making a, from the word of the Lord, of course, it's given to him, and he is describing that the house of the Lord in Jerusalem will be like Shiloh, a desolation. So now we have a link between the law and Jeremiah. Our next step is to look at Daniel 2, and we've already read from Daniel 2, just the portion that's in print as a title, Desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. My understanding of Daniel's words is this. Daniel is aware of what Jeremiah has said about the 70 years. His interpretation of this is that the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70 years. That only occurs after Zedekiah is gone, because that's when the temple goes down. You have a comment? We'd like to hear you, Brother Rick, so I don't know how you... Can you want to come up here and speak? So Daniel is studying Jeremiah. Daniel is seeking information about these 70 years. And he's seeking a lot of information, but he does specify desolation of Jerusalem for 70 years. That's important because, remember, Jeremiah is prophesying to the people that the house is going to be desolate, like Shiloh. That means completely destroyed. That did not happen in the earlier years. That did not happen before the end of Jehoiakim's reign. It didn't happen while Jehoiachin, we call him Chin, even though it's Kin, and neither did it happen in the days of Zedekiah's earlier reign. It happens at the end of that reign when the wicked prince is overthrown. This is what we perceive as is the scriptural line of logic as to why the 70 years are 70 years and not just 51 or some other missing portion of it. To add to this, we go to Chronicles, where we feel that Chronicles is appropriately describing that this is going to be used for the purpose of keeping the Sabbath. Remember back in Leviticus it says Sabbath, and here it mentions to fulfill the 70 years, the desolate land is... the land will be desolate for 70 years to fulfill the Sabbath. And we know those are the Jubilee Sabbaths because there were multiple more regular Sabbaths. Not to mention the weekly Sabbaths, the yearly Sabbaths, and so forth, the seven-year Sabbaths. So this is obviously a very different projection than is given to us by the alternate view of the chronology. Okay, let me summarize. There are scriptures which define for us the framework for a 70-year period of desolation. The Bible does use the words, as we had in that on your paper on page 3, the quote from the NIV, desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Okay, let's go forward. Here we have a reference to, I think I had one more in here. Okay, Israel's seven times of punishment. Now, on the risk of having some confused as to why I'm doing it this way, let me explain slowly. What you see in front of you is a bar graph again with with the years 606 and 607 BC and then 1913 and 1914 AD with the AD BC line between them. We all recognize there is no space called zero. And when we do subtraction in regular mathematics, if we were to subtract, let's say, 25 let's say 6 from 25, we would have a year or a number in there called 20, which is a zero. When you're working with the AD period, BC period, there is no zero in there. There's no space at that junction where these two sets of numbers come together. And so mathematically, it could give you a problem. We'll explain more as we move ahead. But if you'll notice on the chart up here that this portion here, 1914, that is really a full 1913 years AD plus two-thirds of a year. I say two-thirds. Some brethren say three-quarters. I say it because, to me, August 3rd is two-thirds of a year. It may only be a little less or more, but that's why I chose two-thirds. It could have been three-quarters if you prefer. It doesn't really matter. It's a fraction of a year. But going back in time, if you were to count 2,520 years, which is what the Lord assigned, the Lord assigned 2,520 years, and you go back from that point in time, you really go back to a third of a year before the full year 606. Now, that creates a problem because some brethren say, wait a minute, you're giving us a fudge factor here. I'll use that word because you're not using 606, and Brother Russell used 606. Well, you might remember that, and we discussed this a little bit about the 0 years, and I thought I had the quote in here. Don't I have that quote in here, Sister Rebecca, or is it just in the text? Sorry to make your eyes jump around, brethren. But I think the text is probably quoted. is it here or somewhere else? Yeah, it is, but I don't know where. Okay, look on page 6, getting into the 0 year question. On page 6, where it says the subhead, what about zero? You'll notice this quotation, which was called to our attention by Brother Rick Cunningham. We found, now this is Brother Russell's words, we found that as far as we can see from the Bible, this date when the kingdom was taken from the last king of David's line, King Zedekiah, was the year 606. We would not say that it was not 605 or 607, but as near as we can tell, it was the year 606. We submit to you the following. While some have said Brother Russell said what he meant and meant what he said about 606, Evidently, Brother Russell was aware of the possibility of being 6:05 or 6:07. He preferred the 6:06 date, clear as plain, it's in black and white ink here. But we think it gives us good reason to say that, yes, it's possible that he was opening up the door for this reality, that it is, in fact, exactly 2,520 years to August of 1914, if you come from the year 6:06 and a third, which is really 6:07. I think that's a legitimate use of Brother Russell and also of the logic and the framework of this description. Take a quick look at the zero year. Brother Russell knew that Jesus was born in 2 BC. Brother Russell knew, as we go down in time, that he was 30 years in 29 AD. And you'll notice here, if you were doing math and you said, let's take 2 AD and 2 BC and see how old someone is who was born in 2 BC in the year 2 AD. Well, it's not 4 years. You don't go 2 plus 2 is 4. You go 1, 2, 3. It's only 3 years. And that's why there's been a question about the, quote, zero year. There is no zero year, and in fact, you can't use this in a regular mathematical way. Because brethren do, and I've done it myself. You take the years, you add them together, and you assume you have the right number. But as you can see, you really have to subtract this year when you're working in the direction of adding. If you were subtracting, you have to you add a year in that case. But plainly and clearly, Brother Russell knew it because in his writings we have from 2 BC, which is really, you'll notice it's 1 1/4 years, right? Come on, machine. This is a great device, but I don't know how to use it yet. 1 1/4 years is what you add to what goes on the other side. So as you move forward, you'll find that Jesus enters his 30th year in the year 29 AD. I didn't make a graph for that for you, sorry. Oh, I did. I'm sorry. I can't remember anything anymore. I don't even know where my key is, as I told you before. So from 2 BC to 29 is 30 years, and Brother Russell had that correct. So he wasn't totally unaware of this kind of information. The claim, though, as we go into from this to the period of the kings, and I'd like you to turn in your books. Question? In the period of the kings, 513 years is what we have concluded from the information given to us from Brother Russell. The record of the years of the kings, it's claimed, must be reduced to match the record of the kings of Israel. Now, it's not really matching them because the kings of Israel list is shorter. They went out of existence way before Judah did. That's significant. So what do we learn about that? Well, we learn that there are what are called synchronisms. In both books, there are references to the kings of the other kingdom. By using those references, brethren have suggested we can match up and come up with a different set of numbers, and if you must match these. We'll move forward here. They suggest that if you take the 513 years of the kings of Judah and match them with the 10 tribe kingdom, you must make adjustments, and then both kingdoms will line up with the clay tablets and the eponym canon of the Assyrian kings. This is what's suggested. A couple of factors. The eponym canon is not some one written piece of document. Isn't that right, Brother Rick? It's several different fragments that are put together. I can't hear you. Okay. So that's the first thing. Also, the clay tablets of Babylonia are interpreted, and you know, it depends on how you interpret things. Furthermore, there are other suggestions about this that are made, but nevertheless, the bottom line is to try to bring into alignment the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. There's one that doesn't exist. But there exists in the Book of Kings and the Book of Chronicles complete lists of the kings of Israel. No, the kings of Judah. Judah's kings are listed in both of these books. Only the Book of Kings, the one on your right, has a list of the kings of Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom. You may say, well, why is that? Well, the Book of Kings was prepared evidently accurately for the Judah. Chronicles matches it. We feel that's accurate. But it was prepared in Babylon, possibly under the influence for the kings of Israel's sake, matching their kings with the kings of Assyria. Babylonia, rather. And we don't know that that's going to be the concluding factor, but But we do know that we have two records, two witnesses for the kings of Judah. They are, after all, the line of the Messiah. They are the line that you follow through to find the line of David, rather. The other line is the line through Jeroboam, and we don't think it carries the same kind of weight. But again, it's the synchronisms that are the matter of problem. Statements made that so-and-so reigned in his first year in the same year as someone else's reign, and trying to align those. Now, Brother Russell makes a comment on that, and we do have his comment on that that basically says that it is a little bit too much scrambled. That's my interpretation of it. And you'll read it in the paper if you get that far, to be concerned with it. And yet others have proposed that you can work it out. Well, we'll discuss their proposals pretty soon. Our personal feeling is that all Scripture, not the Assyrian canon, nor the Babylonian chronicles, nor tablets, is given by inspiration. It's probable for doctrine, instruction, and so forth, that the man of God may be perfect. We say, sure, well, so is the book of Kings with all the synchronisms. That sounds legitimate. Brother Larry? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. We feel that presents a bit of a problem because there is something that seems to be wrong with this. It doesn't seem to match some other factors, one of which is the fact that we have two complete records of one of the king's histories. But still, it requires to be examined further. So we'll take a look at one of the periods. One of the largest periods that's suggested can be solved and synchronized is the fact that there's a proposal that there's an overlapping of the lives of two kings' reigns. And it comes up this way. By the way, all these other ones, the four, the one, the eight, and the 11, are ones that I personally have not done any research on to solve or answer. They total 26 years, and I think it's 26 years. And I don't have, at this point, any answer for that. It's the only 26 years I will not present any information about, because I have no comment about it at this point. But this is the claim regarding the synchronization of the kings of Israel and Judah. It suggested that the years of Amaziah must be overlapped by the years of Uzziah to match other statements in Scripture which claim a synchronizing of the events of these kings' lives. I hope I'm representing the other view faithfully, and if somebody knows the other view and thinks I'm not, please interrupt me, because I don't think it's fair for me to represent someone else's view incorrectly. You're saying that I have represented the other side correctly? Because you asked the other side? Well, okay, Brother Mark Chastain says that I have at previous occasions represented the other side faithfully. Well, I don't want to misrepresent, that's for sure. And I certainly would like to be called in question if I am. But let me say this much, that there's more to this story, and I'd like to look at that right now. First of all, there are two scriptures that speak about the reigning of Amaziah. I'll tell you a little story about that shortly, but Amaziah comes to reign in the 25th year of his life, and he reigns, it says, for 29 years. No, it doesn't. It says he reigns for 29 years in Jerusalem. That may be insignificant, but to me it's significant. It says he reigns in Jerusalem. That means he's not in captivity, as is suggested, for a period of 9 years, during which his son becomes a co-regent, ruling in his place. Ruling in his place because since he's a captive and they need a king, they make his son the king. You'll find a footnote in the paper which suggests that if this is the case, and the son became the king at the age of 16, that means his father begat him when the father was 14 or 13 or 12 or somewhere around there. I think it was 13 or 12, 14. That's not impossible, but it's not likely. On the other hand, there's other reasons why we don't think this is legitimate. We've heard the presentation that suggests that all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who's also known as Azariah, and he was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father. A couple of things about this. One, this particular statement appears at a point of time when his father has just been buried. The very next verse in Scripture, after the father gets buried, is when this is mentioned. Now, Is it possible that they really meant he was 16 years old way earlier and was made a king, and then they just mentioned this after the father died because, well, they didn't know what to do with it? Or is it wrong? Is it wrong that this man was made a king in the fifth year of his father's reign, and they co-regent for 24 years, as is suggested by this picture? May I also point out something else? Amaziah was apparently a very powerful individual, but not as powerful as he thought he was. And if I can take the time to tell you a little story, we don't have a lot of time to do this, so I have to really rush this in a sense. But this is a critical point. Amaziah becomes king. He gets his oats up, and he goes out to fight the Edomites. He beats them. He takes their gods, brings them back to Jerusalem. He starts worshiping their gods. Really foolish. He's warned, you know, what are you doing here? He's just defeated the gods that couldn't protect the Edomites. Now he's worshiping them. The next thing he wants to do is go off and fight the king from the 10-tribe kingdom, Joash. Joash sends him a parable. He tells him, you're going to get trampled. And sure enough, the guy goes out to fight the northern kingdom, and he gets trampled. He gets brought back. No, it's mentioned by the other presentation that I've heard. I saw a video of this. I may be doing this incorrectly because I don't know if the person still feels this way. But the presentation is made in such a way that suggests that he's taken as a captive. But the scriptures, if you read them, go a little further in the description. They say that the king of the northern kingdom comes down, takes this king, and they go back to Jerusalem. The king of the north tears down 400 cubits of the northern wall of Jerusalem, which exposes the city to invasion, takes gold from the treasury of the king and the treasury of the temple, and he takes hostages, and he then returns to his own kingdom. Does not mention, though, that he took the king hostage back to the kingdom, which would imply the need for a king to be put in his place, because now the guy's gone. But apparently that didn't happen because doesn't mention it, number one. And number two, and the reason it's being used this way is it's, again, one point. The reason it's mentioned that the king was taken captive is because the persons who are trying to put together a co-regency have no other way of solving their co-regency, excepting the fact that the co-regency must be done. They're looking for an answer for this, and the answer they come up with is, he must have been kept captive. And the reason they give is something like this. All the people took the king, and then Thiel, who is the person who came up with these co-regencies, comes up with the idea that this is unusual. They don't do this. Do you know that King Saul, the first king, the words are, all the people made him the king. After Uzziah, Ammon and also Josiah die, and the scripture says, and all the people made him the king. So Theo's postulation that this statement, all the people, is made when no one is certain as to what happened, is preposterous. Saul had it done that way. Ammon dies and Josiah is made king. It's done that way. Josiah dies and his son is made king, and it's done that way. Clearly Josiah was dead. Plains of Megiddo. And the word's the same. So that's Theo is wrong, plainly and flatly, in using that kind of a reasoning. And then, of course, this is the true statement. Chronicles 25:1 and Kings 14:2 give the reigns of Amaziah, and the other ones give the reigns of, and these are the presentation we will stand by, and we will claim that the 24 years of the 50 we have an answer for. Besides which, look at Thiel's own comments about his own co-regencies. He says that these, to accept my views, and I'm paraphrasing, you must accept premises of an original reckoning of the reigns, and he lists eight premises. In 1995 at Jackson, Brother Rick presented this page to the brethren. You may have seen it before on a sheet of a handout. Those are a lot of premises. Okay? Let's go forward. There's a prophecy that's given. Very briefly, let me mention that if you notice on this prophecy, there's a 390 year that begins in the third year of the reign of Rehoboam, and a 390 years that begins at the beginning of Jeroboam. The first suggestion, I think, I don't know which one was yours, Brother Rick, but Brother Rick made one of these suggestions, and Eric Patterson made another, and other men of chronological interest in the 1800s made similar references, by the way. I came across them only recently. Yes? There you go. Okay, Isaac Newton. Although I read something recently about Isaac Newton, I want to talk to you about. That's another matter. Rehoboam, in his third year, between his third and his fifth year, he goes bad. But anyway, there's a 390-year period that would bring us to 606, and a 390-year period that brings you from Jeroboam, the 10-tribe kingdom, down to the third year when the siege, 3-year siege, which is about the 8th year of Zedekiah. Notice what this does. 40 years for Saul, 40 years for David, 40 years for Samuel, and 3 years, Solomon, Saul, David, Solomon, the 3 years of Rehoboam's goodness, and 390 gives us 513. Or the 40 years of the same three kings, plus the 390, plus this 3-year siege, gives us 513. Very likely an indication to us, though not a final proof of anything, certainly. It's just an interesting reference. Now, the two periods that have been suggested so far, the 70 years reduced to 51, the 513 reduced to 463, leaves the, as I heard it, at least on tape or in a discourse, I think I heard it in a discourse stated, that brings us, if we have those dates, to around 1942-43. And the comment was made that there's nothing much you can do with that at this point. And I think that's true. 1943, the only thing I can think of significant that happened that year was my dear wife was born, and so was I. That's a bad joke. But anyway, it's not the end of the 6,000 years, as is pretty evident by the fact that it falls that way. Well, then the return to another period of time, and the period of time that's turned to next is the period of the judges. The suggestion here is it's not 450, but rather 349, not just a 100-year difference, but a 101-year difference. The claim is made that that's what's true. The facts are that you can add up, essentially, the 450 plus. The facts are that Apostle Paul plainly states 450 years. And it is suggested that the Apostle Paul was kind of just putting things together. Notice this. Early Christian writers before the 3rd century, and also one Jewish writer, did not make any reference to a period of 480 years when quoting 1 Kings 6:1. I think that's significant. Chronological writers didn't make any reference to something that would have been in sacred text to build their chronologies. No reference. Besides which, Origen, the one who's listed first here, is a Christian writer. He actually quotes the scripture, and he doesn't include the words, as we're going to see shortly. In 1873, a man who was a member of the Church of England wrote put together a four-volume commentary. 1873 was the edition. He says, "But the text itself is not free from suspicion. It is the sole passage in the Old Testament which contains the idea of dating events from an era, an idea which did not occur to the Greeks until the time of Thucydides." Well, that's not proving too much. It's a nice thought, but it doesn't prove something. It is quoted by Origen without the words, quote, "in the 480th year after the year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt," left out completely. And Origen was quoting the text. So evidently the manuscript he had did not have it in it at that time. Besides which, going on, and by the way, that's a comment from S. Johanan, volume 2, something 20. I actually found the text somewhere on that. I don't have it with me. It seems to have been known It seems to have been known only in this shape, that is, without those words, to Josephus, to Theophilus of Antioch, and to Clement of Alexandria, who would all naturally have referred to the date had it been formed a portion of the passage in their day. Yes?
I have a question about this being the sole passage, because there is a passage in Judges that says that something occurred.
Yes, you're correct. Yes, yes.
And what about the one about the covenant with Abraham?
That's in the New Testament. Is that what you're talking about? That's New Testament. This is speaking about the Old Testament. You're right about the one that has to do with Jephthah, the 300 years. But notice, I think the language here is dating events from an era. I think his language is more specific. That's with in an era. I think that the other one spans. I'm not positive how to language that. Well, remember my comment. Yeah, but remember my comment. My comment is, I don't think that really proves anything. I thought it was interesting because I don't think it matters. I mean, if you take when Thucydides writes and you put it into context, it's hardly relevant. He thought it was relevant. I don't think it's relevant, but it was there, so I read it. It's just an interesting point. But the fact that these others didn't use it at all, the fact that it's quoted as an actual quotation and it's missing. See, Bertrand Russell went to a great deal of trouble to quote from Benjamin Wilson and the Emphatic Dialogue. I think we should all know that the Jewish people didn't write 480. They put letters of their alphabet together to make up blocks which make up whole numbers. And they didn't write it out with a zero, which would be implied if you're using the 4 and the 5. That's not the way they did it. Those two letters that Benjamin Wilson refers to are incorrect. I would have liked it to have been correct, but it's not, and I never thought it was. I mean, I did think it was in the early years, but over the last 15, 20 years, I've never thought it was correct. So the statements that are made by the new chronology about that are correct. They are. That's true. They didn't do it that way. But they did not write the words out until the Christian era, when they wrote them out completely as words. And that way you don't have any mistakes. But mistakes are possible. In Book of Chronicles and Book of Kings, you will find mistakes where they miss by a digit of 10. So that's a possibility. But to have a whole passage missing, Origen seems to me to be the one that calls the thing. Anyway, the summation of this is something to the effect that, and it's in your booklet, it's not over here, it's on page 13. On page 13, Cook says it is probable that the words, the 480th year and so forth, are an interpolation into the sacred text. That's his probable suggestion, and I think it's true. Now, I spoke with the brother who's presented these other views in a convention, and I asked him about his conclusions. I said to him, well, you accept Acts 13:18 because it's clear, it's the 40 years in the wilderness. You accept Acts 13:21. That's the only place in the Bible where we get that information. There is no other place to know how long Saul reigned. We're depending on Paul for that date. And we're also depending on Paul for the 430 years of Galatians 3:17. That's a fact. Those are two facts we depend on Paul for, and he gives us the 450, which is very close to what we can read in the book of Judges. And I ask the question, isn't it consistent, rather, to accept the all four? Why is it, you know, only three of these? And then you might raise the question about the words about and the word space. But notice that in Acts 13:20, which is very acceptable to everybody, it says about the space. Excuse me, I said that backwards. Forgive me. Acts 13:18 uses the word about. That's acceptable to everybody. 13:21, space, acceptable to everybody. And about the space, we're talking about basically the same language. And it should be as acceptable as the other. We're moving ahead. Now we get into some other factors. Because the brethren have had, per Brother Russell's suggestion, the year 454 B.C. They have taken, and let me see if I can find a place where you can look at that. By the way, in the handout, regarding the 2,520 years, I don't know why, I know why I didn't put this in here. I made a calendar that focuses on the 2,520 years. You might want to look at that more closely in your spare time. And again, if you see anything wrong. Also, there's a section on the Venerable Tradition, and also the importance of the Venerable Tradition, and I'm going to read you part of a paragraph. Yes?
Point of clarity, you had asked the question of the brother that they could accept all four, and you didn't give the answer.
Oh, I said to the person, this is unfortunate, this is in a semi-private conversation. There were a group of brethren, I asked the question, I said, You do this, you do this, you do this. The brother said to me, it seems inconsistent, doesn't it? And it seemed inconsistent to me. That's all. You know, he said, it seems inconsistent, doesn't it? And it does. It really does. And I think if you can accept, you know, the two that are really key, difficult ones, because there's no other source. I mean, what we're saying here is that the Apostle Paul, an inspired writer, isn't accurate on something like this. Why would we say that? We're basically, and we also have some evidence that the text itself in 1 Kings 6:1 is not authentic. And we know that's really possible. And there seems to be evidence to suggest that. So that's what seems to be valid. And anyway, it seems consistent to us. And the presentation is more complete in the pamphlet than what I'm saying. Thank you for the question, Brother John. Regarding the venerable tradition, I'd like you to look at that first paragraph about the Sabbaths. Doesn't have a page number. It's opposite 7. It's 16. It's opposite 17. You know, I don't think it's fair to you. We only have a few minutes left here. 10 o'clock, I understand the building becomes a clamshell. Please. Let me just do one more thing. I want to give you a look at something. Do you see the 454 BC date? This is the crux of another whole segment of discussion. Daniel 8 presents us with the 2300 days. Daniel 9 presents us with the 70 weeks. Because it has been accepted by others that not 454, I have a plus there and I'll explain why, but rather 445 has been accepted as a legitimate date for what appears to be the decree, which is the decree of Artaxerxes to Nehemiah. If you look in the if you look in the book of Nehemiah, he gets a decree that says he can go back and rebuild the city, the gates and so forth. That year is the 20th year of his reign. Because some have accepted the currently common accepted date of 445, and they know that if you use that date, it does not align with Jesus' life. They have abandoned the Artaxerxes as a legitimate date, the 20th year, and have returned to something that happens in the 7th chapter of Ezra. Follow me carefully. Ezra is suggested as the one who has the correct decree based on Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Daniel gets this prophecy. The prophecy says, go forth, that there'll be a decree that'll say to rebuild Jerusalem. Beginning at that point, there are 70 weeks decreed. If we take the date that is offered to us as 445, it messes up, so to speak. It lands in the wrong place, and everybody agrees that that does not match 445. Nominal Christians accept it because they play with the idea of a separate 7 years that's going to occur somewhere down in the future, and the rapture will occur. We know that's wrong. The other brethren have said, no, we're going to go to Ezra for the answer. Ezra gets a decree too. But I would suggest to you, go home and read Ezra 7 carefully. There's nothing in there, to my understanding, about building anything. What is suggested is Ezra 4 mentions some building of a wall. But brethren, in that case, it's the enemies of Israel who are saying that a wall is being built. They send a letter to a man named Artaxerxes, and he says, stop building. But wait a minute. That can't be the same Artaxerxes in chapter 4 that's in chapter 7 given Ezra the right. But isn't this the book of Ezra? Yes, but Ezra doesn't appear till chapter 7. In chapter 4, it's way before Ezra's time. It's not Ezra's enemies as is printed in a manuscript which is being circulated because he wasn't there. Oh, in general, you could say they're his enemies, just like the enemies of Israel are our enemies and so forth. But Ezra 4 is talking about another Artaxerxes, whose name may have been Smyrdis. This Artaxerxes says, stop building. But stop building what? By the time you get to chapter 5, the Israelis have worked it out, and they've got it clear with the king Darius. Now notice, Artaxerxes in chapter 4, Darius in chapter 5, and Artaxerxes in chapter 7. Can't be the same Artaxerxes. You've got a Darius' reign in between. So this is a different person. Artaxerxes of chapter 4. This is not the time of Ezra's building, but in fact, Ezra's not even getting the right to build anything. The king said, go back and worship. Go to your temple. It's all built already. Go back there and worship. He didn't say it's all built already, but it amounts to that. Okay, now we have to ask ourselves, is the jump from 454 to the time of Ezra, which is supposed to be 458, a view proposed by many Adventists. Is that correct? And we suggest, no, it's not. We believe that the correct date for that is 454 plus a quarter. See, we're doing something also. We're going over that zero, we're coming out with a year difference, we're coming out with 455, the fall of 455. But I think it's very consistent with something else. Let me move ahead and show you why. You see the AD 29 here, AD 33? We understand this to be the 70th week, as Brother Russell taught it. And by the way, 454 was supported by all of these individuals, Hensenberg, and believe it or not, Bishop Usher had it right. But you won't find it in his chronology, because in the year 1702, I think, a man changed it and put it forward as Bishop Usher's chronology. Usher had 454 correct. And the scriptures read, unto Messiah the Prince is going to be a period of time. If we take this unto the Prince, and I have to move forward to show you this. If we take Messiah the Prince, and this is not working the way I would like it to work, but I'll just get to... If we take Messiah the Prince out of the picture, this is what we're being proposed. If you go back to 458 BC on your left there, the parallels shift back 3.5 years. And then you have 26 AD as the time when the 70th week begins. This is what we're being told. It changes all the parallels in this sense, not completely, but pretty much. And you see the shift goes back for not only what happens at Jesus' period of time, but also at the second advent. Notice also that 26 AD, which is proposed to be the time when Pilate comes to power, and 1871, which has to do with the formation of the German Empire, does not have to do, let's say, with the beginning of Jesus' ministry, nor the beginning of his return. This is a shift which does not have to do. Now, what do you have to do with this? To make this possible, you reinterpret Daniel 9:27. No longer is it Messiah who confirms the covenant. Remember what Messiah is? The messenger of the covenant? It's suggested now that's God who confirms the covenant. It's not Messiah. You know the expression, he's cut off in the midst of the week? Two different verses. So we're not allowed to use that. Not so. Yes, he's cut off. Confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. It's the same week. Jesus, I'm losing a thought here and I didn't want to do that. We believe, and I'm just going to have you look at this, the chart again, that from 454 or 455 and a, 454 and a quarter B.C., unto Messiah the Prince brings you to the line which is 29 A.D. It goes past it, but that's the line of this expansion. And that matches the parallel correctly. What I'm looking for in my mind right now, I don't have on paper here in front of me, but you'll read about it if you have the need to. And I can't remember what I just passed by besides the Jewish double. No, it's escaped me, and I'm sorry about that. Let's look at that 70th week. Jesus comes to the Jordan. We're told by those who feel he doesn't confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, but that it's God. We're told that Jesus makes the end of the sacrifice and oblation to cease in 29 AD when he comes to Jordan. I don't think so. I think we must look to the time when on the cross he dies and completes the work that he was assigned to do. I think that's where we have to mark it. That is the midst of the week. That is the time when he is cut off. That is the time when he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. It's not wrong for us to say these things happen in the midst of the week, that he's cut off, and they fit together. We are patching scripture together, but I think it's legitimate. Brother David.
David nevertheless draws parallels based upon what authority I know not, because he does not have Mishnah as a valid word.
I'll tell you what he does. Because he's changed the chronology, because he says that we can't use 1845 from Jesus' date back to 1813 B.C., and I think we can. I think I explained it in here very detailed. There's a note on that. He makes a comment that you have to go back to 1814 B.C. I don't think so. If you count back from 32 and a quarter A.D., and you count back B.C., it is into 1813 B.C. that you go the three quarters to get to the spring, and you have a full 1845 years. I don't know. I don't understand the problem. Maybe I'm bad in math. But the point is, let me finish. The point is that since 1813 is no longer the death of Jacob by the new chronology, it's a different date, you have to shift to find something else. He has found the death of Sarah. He says the death of Sarah matches the death of Jesus or resurrection Jesus, the beginning of the Sarah covenant class. That's what he's done. I think the Jewish double, which we have found out from several scriptures, falls into place with 1878, is more appropriate to find that date, and those parallels come from that. He's basically working off a number we have found. And you can say he finds it also by saying that, well, 1,335 years brings you to the return of Jesus in 1874, and that's his number for the parousia. But working with that number, then, he expands all the other parallels. But we know that that number came out of the parallel concept of the Jewish double. And yet it's been taken and it's been applied, and it sounds like it's all still part of our theology, but it's coming from in a different direction at this point. I think you might have more to say about that.
Never mind.
But did I muddle it all for you?
No, I was simply commenting on the use of the word double, period, where she says it's an invalid word.
Well, I don't have a comment on that myself. I really don't. Sorry, I don't. So, if you have other questions, I'd be glad to take them. I think you're going to have to leave pretty soon. I realize this would have been too much for a lot of the brethren, and probably was too much for you, and maybe if it makes sense to you in the pamphlet, it's okay. My interest in this was very nil up until I saw a video presentation at another convention and studied it for hours and hours and hours. I have spoken with brother myself. He told me that if we don't have 1 Kings 6:1, we don't have anything. I don't think so. I think we have the Apostle Paul's writing about the period of the judges. I think it's legitimate. I'm not a scholar in this subject. I'm just trying to patch together what I think are scriptural reasons, and I think they're scriptural. I gave you scriptures on the desolation. I think they're authentic. I think I have a valid question about the period of the 24 years that's trying to be put a different way. I don't have an answer for the 26 years, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. And I also, I think validly that the period of the judges is as I said. I think the parallels, unfortunately, are following another line of reasoning of moving dates. I don't think you can use Ezra. I don't think it matches. If you read the seventh chapter, and you can come back to me and tell me how it reads the other way, I'd be glad to hear it, but I don't read it that way. And I think the fourth chapter is totally a misreading, and it turns out to be a misrepresentation of what really happened. I don't know what else to say. I'm just trying to really pull together what I think is valid chronological material. And I think I have I guess we have 1898 would be the end of the 6,000 years by what I've done that I can't deal with the 26 years. That's all I can offer. Or somewhere around that. Brother, Sister Gloria, and then Brother Rick.
Yeah, could you just comment on the, in the Acts, where Paul talks about 450 years? He says to Samuel.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Then they asked for King and they were given Saul.
Yeah.
Could you comment on that?
Do you have a thought on that, Brother Rick? I just assumed past the no thought. I have a thought, and you know, there's three ways of reading that. There's that way, there's the way I was saying it, and there's another way, which, you know, goes back another verse and says, well, it's a different way altogether, and you have to date it for another period. And frankly, Sister Gloria, I think my mind is so stretched at this point in every direction that I would give you probably a totally terrible answer. I think that if you add the dates together and they match up and they line up and they don't come out right exactly by unto, I think we're still dealing with a measurement that matched what was existing at the time. I'm not giving you at least all muddled. I have to think it through more carefully. I did see this in print, and I understand what the point is, but I didn't really think it through fully. I don't think we do, because I think he actually judges an overlapping way with King Saul. I think he's still judging Saul and still functioning. Although you could possibly terminate his judgeship officially with the coming of the king. And that's probably what you have to do. But again, how many exact years? It's not specified. And, you know, I think we have to say, are we given the New Testament information just by chance? Did he just happen on it? You know, that's the suggestion that's made, that Apostle Paul was just using a method that was used in those days. Well, how did he come up with the 40 years for Saul? We have no other record for that, and we have no other record for Galatians 3:17. And besides which, before the year 2000, I was speaking with a couple of brethren at this convention, and one of the elders says, and he still has the other person has a problem with with Galatians 3:17, and we all said, no, he doesn't. He's changed that. Well, up until a certain year, like the year 2000 or 2001, the view was solidly the other way, that this should be changed, or at least it was suggested it was. I know that in 2000 he made the suggestion, well, if I'm wrong, and he wrote on the board 2043, and I don't think anybody paid much attention to it. But that's where he was going, and that's where he wound up, and, you know, that's fine. It doesn't match with what I think is legitimate scriptural questions. The best I can do. Somebody else will probably do better. Brother Rick and then Brother Frank.
For such a glorious question, Brother Jerry Leslie's newest or latest book, if you've gotten that, he's got a real nice updated proof. Edgar Brothers corrected chart on the period of the judges where he covered that detail.
I have 10 copies of that.
Strength by the other chronological links all being secured. But there's just that one point Brother Bob was observing was that the method that the new chronology uses to synchronize the kings of Israel with the king gives them a different 5 to 8 suppositions, and those suppositions are such things as, for some of the kings, they ascended the throne in the fall of the year, and for other of the kings, they ascended the throne in the spring of the year. The scriptures don't tell us that. This is an assumption that one has to make to try to synchronize these different kings together. But it's presented as if it's from the Bible, but actually these are suppositions that one has to assume are there in order to make these work. So that's an example of what we're saying of a supposition that has to be assumed.
And that's what Thiel says in his manuscript. He says you must assume that this happened up to a certain point. But it went this way, this way, this way, at least 3 times. Plus, he says that at some point, and it's on that paper, you had it, that they totally forgot something, and that these were introduced. Well, once you get into that, you say to yourself, wait a minute, Is Thiel saying that the Bible was manufactured with no basis of spiritual input? If that's the case, now someone could claim, wait a minute, Brother Bob, you're saying that about that Kings is all wrong in these places. Well, we're trying to sort out between what is stated in one place and what is stated in another place, and how does it match? And it's a struggle, I must admit. There's no question about it. Brother Frank.
No, I just wanted you to mention something about, we have a different date for Jacob's death.
We don't, but the brother has a different chronology, which in itself requires Jacob's death to be at a different date than 1813 BC.
Does he acknowledge that?
Pardon me?
Does he mention that?
Oh, he states it as a necessity to build at the point of Sarah. He found that Sarah's death is at that 1813 point, so he has his 1845 years for a parallel, but for a different reason.
What date does he put the death of Jacob's death?
I don't know. I didn't even think about it. I'm sure there's a legitimate dating there that he has figured out within his chronological pattern. He has all the numbers down, I'm sure. I don't have in my head.
It's totally contrary to the statement given in Genesis about the date Abraham...